where the light gets in. It follows Delphi, who's quite the wild child. She's grappling with her mother's decision to end her life after years of living with a terminal illness. Not only that, but she's dealing with all this other stuff, intimate relationships and a strange father and the fallout of her mother's decision. There's lots to unpack, as I'm sure you know, as the writer of this book, and lots to explore. What's the essence of the novel in your words?
I'm so pleased that you enjoyed it. That means a lot to me. Thank you very much. I think that the novel is fundamentally about the fact that we all suffer. We all get battered around and bruised by life. And what I'm interested in exploring, and that was the through line to the book, was how do we put ourselves back together after that? So the book is actually about hope and about reforming. And even though it sort of sounds kind of heavy when you do the distillation of that, it's also about things like friendship and love and beauty and art and travel. You remember when we could do that? There's quite a lot of travel
yes.
in the book.
Yeah, it's quite lovely to read those moments of travel, and a lot of the characters live, you know, apart from each other in different parts of the world. It's quite strange in a way to hear that, but it's really wonderful to know that there is a world out there. You did mention in writing this book that the birth of your first child was the impetus for the story. What about the birth move you to write?
Well, actually, she was still in my tummy.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was living in Italy at the time in an area which comes up in the book, hill town above Florence. And I was looking at my great big tummy. I was actually in the bath in the time. I hope that's not too much of an image for everybody.
But
I was looking at my tummy and I was thinking, everything is more important now in relation to the choices that I'm going to make and who I want to be. And I thought, and this is the beautiful thing about being a writer, you get to ask the question, you know, what if, and watch those concentric circles swell out. So I thought about myself, I want to get my stuff together. I want to be resolved and as strong as I can be, as integrated as I can be, so that I can be the best mama I can be. And that was the moment I thought, that's actually a really interesting idea for a book. How do we go about that? How do we go about sorting ourselves out so that we can be the best version of ourselves?
It's your first novel, as you mentioned, and I'm going to assume your first experience writing one. Did the process meet your expectations? I'm always curious to know, is it as hectic as what people say it is?
No, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I actually, when I made the commitment, because I'd spent years avoiding doing it, all the reasons, you know, not enough time, not enough belief in myself.
Sure.
And I'm an avid reader. So that great big gap between what I could sort of crack out onto, you know, my computer screen, as opposed to what I thought was really wonderful writing, the gap just felt so big. And then this is one of the great things about getting older, isn't it, where I turned 40 and I just went, just do it. Just turn up and write. And there's something kind of freeing about that, when you just stop that voice that stops you, you know, doing, questioning it all the time, and just get on and do it. And then it was just a deep pleasure to frolic around in ideas. And I know it sounds a bit pretentious and crazy, but those characters, I fell in love with them and they became like friends. And so I loved every moment of it.
I'm so glad to hear that. And you can tell that the characters are a labour of love, because they just, you know, fly off the page. At least they did for me anyway.
Yeah. And I just, so a couple of my friends who are writers that said, you know, you'll know it's done when your eyes start bleeding because you're sick of reading it. I've written a second book since, and now I'm just starting the editing process of that. And that's, it's been such a privilege to, because the beautiful people at Ultimo Press gave me a 2-book deal. So I learned a lot in the first book, and the second book is quite different. It's sort of a sex-soaked morality tale, and it's got a lot of female rage in it, and that was wild to write for different reasons, because this first book, Where the Light Gets In, is really about love and tender heartland, and as I said, you know, how we put ourselves back together.
Yeah, which was beautiful, but sign me up for that second book. I'll get me on the list for that one. That sounds wonderful. So back to your book and to Delphi, the book, obviously, as you mentioned, it's about love, it's super tender, and it's about family ties, the good and the bad, which we all have. The book also centres on a decision that Zoe's mother makes, which is to euthanise herself. And this proves pretty problematic because it is 2019, I was about to say 1920, it's a bit off there. 2019, and she lives in Tassie, and VAD is not yet legalised. And I do believe that the Tasmanian government has passed legislation, but it's still not currently available because it does take some time to process that. By October, I think it'll be available under the law. I'm wondering if you're comfortable sharing your relationship and experiences to voluntary assisted dying.
Yeah. Absolutely. And interestingly, you swapped Delphi's name, who is the lead character, with my name when you were doing that.
I did.
And, you know, but there's a spot onness to that because this is not a memoir. These are fictional characters for sure. If I wanted to write a memoir, which I definitely would not, because it wouldn't be nearly as interesting. But there are parts of my life. I heard a beautiful thing. Someone said to me the other day that all first novels are part memoir and part wish fulfillment. Mm. And so there are certainly parts of my life, but as I say, different characters, different stories. So my mama, who I absolutely adored, she had a terminal illness, and this is 21 years ago, so a long time ago, and she was living in Tasmania. And as you say, voluntary assisted dying wasn't available then, so she took matters into her own hands. It was called suicide. That's what it was named then. But one of the things I explore in the book is the difference between suicide and euthanasia. So my mother was very much in the latter. She wasn't depressed. She just had a disease that meant that she couldn't stay at home and was going to have a very, very grim time in a high dependency unit for up to 7 years. So she made that decision, and but because of the law, it meant that I couldn't be with her when she died. And so that was excruciating. And of course, the death of any parent or anyone that we love is excruciating. But there was this theme that ran through the center of my grief, which made it very difficult to recover and process and move through the nature of her death, that we weren't allowed to be together as a family. So since then, I've thought a great deal about euthanasia, and I'm so deeply excited, for want of a better word, that these laws are being passed, and very hopefully in New South Wales, we will be the last state soon. It's in the upper house again at the moment. So and why I say excited, a peculiar word, is just I would hate for any family to have to go through what we went through. And when I've spoken to families that do choose to use the support of voluntary assisted dying, the words that they use to describe their experience are words like beautiful and peaceful and loving and kind, and even words like magical and transcendent. And all the words that I would use around my mother's death would be the polar opposite. They would be down in that range of traumatic and horrifying and terrifying. So for me, my personal belief and my politics are very much that allowing people to choose the time of their death and to do so with dignity and with their families around them is deeply compassionate.
Mm. Thank you for sharing your experiences, Zoe, and I'm sorry for your loss, deeply sorry for the way it happened. But like you said, it's, again, for lack of a better word, exciting that this legislation is passing. I know that you're an actress, or have been an actress. I'm not sure if you're still acting, but I also think that's very wonderful. And I don't know about you, but I feel as though it's certainly coloured the writing or the characters in a really unique way. You have this beautiful way of making the characters jump off the page. Everyone has a distinct energy and a smell in some cases. Is it fair fair to say that that does change the way you think or write about characters in particular, but the story as a whole?
Yeah, that's such an astute question. Absolutely. So no, I'm no longer an actor. I haven't done it for a long time. But every part of my life, so being a mother, certainly being an actor, my company, Pilot Light, where I work in leadership, all of that informs the characters. And look, I'm a connection-based person. Mm-hmm. I'm all about love, and so characterization. I wanted the plot to have a real clip to it, a real movement, and I wanted to so that the reader was really pulled right through the story. Mm-hmm. But how you do that, in my humble opinion, is creating really interesting characters and who are flawed. You know, Delphi is flawed, and she makes some terrible choices, but she makes some good ones too. And when I referred before to, you know, some people writing, you know, wish fulfillment in first memoirs, there's a character called Art who is in the book, who is kind of a guardian angel who arrives. And I have to say, I've been, you know, I've looked out for an Art in my life.
He's beautiful.
I'm so glad you think. I think he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you know, I've had people in my life who've held my hand and delighted me and walked the course with me. And I think that is such a privilege and so beautiful. So I really wanted to celebrate that even when we are alone in grief or we're growing growth pains, that if we have the deep privilege of having companions, that there's light there and that there's hope and deliciousness. Like I really love the joyfulness of play and connection and booze. You probably picked that up. I really love that sort of music. And so all of that warmth I wanted to feel through it. Because as you mentioned, family is one of the strong themes. And our family of origin, sometimes it's very complicated, very complicated relationships. But I strongly believe that we can also choose our family. I certainly have some friends who are my sisters and brothers for sure.
Yeah. You touched on a key word there, which is light. And that obviously comes into the title. And also there's a beautiful quote at the start of this book, which I think speaks to the ultimate hope of this story. And because we are a music station, RTR-FM, I can't go past reading out the Leonard Cohen quote, which is, "There's a crack in everything, that's how the light gets in." And I just was, when I first read that, I think it spoke to me at the time. And it says a lot about the book and the overall feel and message of the book. What do you hope readers take away when they read Where the Light Gets In?
Well, I hope they like it like you did.
I'm sure they will.
So the last couple of years have been pretty dire for all of us, haven't they? I mean, to differing degrees, of course. And my aim in writing the book was to explore big ideas like euthanasia and the right to die and family and healing, but to do so in a way that I hope doesn't sound preachy, because I don't have a lot of answers. I have a lot of questions, but I think there's something wonderful in thinking about the questions and what that means in relation to us and our lives and purpose. And for me, the purpose is about connecting to other people. So what I hope, and I say this with immense humility, is that people would be delighted by the book, that they will get to rummage around in some ideas and maybe solidify some answers, and maybe they could let me know what those are because I'm interested. But that they would also feel hopeful and reconnected to ideas like beauty, you know, wherever you find it, whether that's in nature, whether it's with a baby, whether it's when you make your friend laugh or drinking a really beautiful glass of champagne.
Gorgeous. And I think it speaks to both the light and the shade in life, and I'm all about that. And you've tackled the big issues in a harrowing and truthful way, yet a really beautiful way. So thank you, Zoe.
I'm so touched. Thank you.